Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we're going to pick up in chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In the first 12 verses, what Paul is discussing here is judgments. Paul instructed the Corinthians to judge the man committing fornication with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, he asked them, "Do not ye judge them that are within?" In the context of judging, he then turned his attention to the judgment of legal matters between brethren in the church, the judgment of the joint heirs with Christ, and the judgment of personal liberties. First, we want to look at the judgment between brethren. Let's read together in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the first 8 verses. The Word of God has this to say, "Dear any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud in that your brethren." So here Paul rebuked the Corinthians for taking their legal matters to court. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he said in effect, "How dare you go to law before the unjust?" The qualifications to serve as a juror or a judge do not include being a child of God. In Luke chapter 18, verse 2, we read this, "Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." These are the words of Jesus. So we see there is, as he's talking, there was a city where a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So this judge was not a believer. Amen. So God's children should be judged by saints rather than the unjust or the unbeliever. Amen. Now, saints will judge the world, we're told. There in verse 2, "Do you not know what the saints shall judge the world?" Amen. At the white throne judgment, we will be standing with the Lord when the books are open. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20, in verses 12 and 13, the Word of God says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So here we have a description of the great white throne judgment, amen, where we are going to be standing with the Lord as the books are being opened. Then in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the word of God says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands admitted unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judge was set, and the books were open." Again, here's another description of the great white throne judgment, where we're going to be standing with the Lord as those books are open. And then in Psalm 149, verses 5 to 9, we read, the Word of God says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. The honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. So we're going to be there standing with the Lord at the great white throne judgment as the books are open. Amen. And we will judge the world. Amen. So with that said, Paul wrote that if they were going to judge the world, couldn't they judge something as trivial as a legal matter between brethren? A temporal disagreement is of little importance compared to eternal matters, amen? And then not only that, but Paul says that the saints will judge angels in verse 3. We read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" Amen. We are going to be with the Lord when he judges the fallen angels. Let's look first in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And these are the fallen angels that when Lucifer, who became Satan, rebelled, that he took with him. Amen. And then we have in Jude chapter 6, chapter 1 of Jude, verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness, under the day of judgment of the great day." So, if we can handle that judgment, amen, we can certainly handle things that pertain to this life. And that's exactly what Jesus taught over there in Matthew chapter 18, if you would, with me. Matthew chapter 18 and verses 15 to 17, the Word of God says this, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So the Lord here, that's what he teaches, amen, that we should judge the brethren within the church and not go outside to the unbeliever. Paul said that the least esteemed in the church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, should handle these matters. In other words, what Paul is saying, it doesn't take a person of great renown to judge matters pertaining to this life. They are so insignificant. Any saint can do that. Amen. Of course, his comment is sarcastic. Paul shamed them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5, with his comment about the least esteemed. So he asked them in so many words, isn't there one wise man among you that can judge between his brethren? Cannot somebody settle the matter without going to court? When brothers go to court, they are putting the decision into the hands of the unbelievers. See, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Paul said that a brother going to court against a brother is at fault in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 6. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Amen. Now, the offended party is better off, Paul says, to take the wrongs. It's better to be defrauded than for brothers to go to court. And he admonished the offended parties to rather suffer. He was saying, in essence, just let it go. But he also accused those who committed fraud against their brethren in verse 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. Amen. He said of them, ye do wrong. You see, it's not right for brothers to defraud one another, and it's not right for those defrauded to seek relief in court. Amen. So there we have Paul's discussion and his words concerning judgment between brethren. The next thing we want to see that Paul talks about, amen, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is judgment of heirs. Judgment of heirs. Let's look at verses 9 through 11 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Word of God says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Having dealt, amen, with the fornicator in 1 Corinthians 5, and those committing fraud in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul warned the Corinthians that unrighteousness not only has temporal consequences, it can also have eternal consequences. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" See, God's children, his heirs, are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's turn to Romans 8 for a moment and look at verses 16 to 17. The words of God say this: "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. He says, if children, then heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. So we're not only children of God, we belong to God, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we belong to God, but we're also heirs, joint heirs with Christ. In other words, we have an inheritance, and that inheritance is based on if so be we suffer with him, if we suffer for Christ, for living for him. Amen. Now, notice also we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It mentions here the judgment that believers will stand before, the judgment seat of Christ. The words of God say here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 24 to 25, the words of God say this: "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." Amen. No respect of persons. So at the judgment seat of Christ, it is possible to lose your inheritance. Not your salvation, your inheritance. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Being a fornicator, or an idolater, or an adulterer, or a feminine, or an abuser, or a thief, or covetous, or a drunkard, or a reviler, or an extortioner will cause you to lose your inheritance. You see, these things are the work of the flesh, which deny your inheritance. Amen. Deny your inheritance. And of course, we have the description in the book of Galatians chapter 5, talks about the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, the Word of God has this to say: "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." They're revealed, in other words. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, we are told, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, "For this know ye, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Amen. And the Word of God tells us quite plainly that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In Romans 8:8, the Word of God says so clearly, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit and living for God, and you're living, letting the flesh have control of you, the unsaved person part of you, then you cannot please God. And you do things that we mentioned that will cause you to lose your inheritance. We are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 16. Now, Paul reminded the Corinthians that some of them used to be these things before they were saved. Amen. And he says there in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So he's saying to the Corinthians that you were like the things that I just mentioned before you were saved. You were fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, effeminate, abusers, thief, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. But now that you're saved, amen, he reminds them that they used, some of them used to be these things before they were saved, but now they are washed. Washed. What does he mean they were washed? Well, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Titus 3, verse 5, we read this, "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us," here it is, "by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Amen. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the Word of God says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us," here it is, "and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So he says, now, Corinthians, you're washed, but you're not only washed, he tells them, but they're also sanctified. Sanctify or set apart. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The Word of God says, "But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification in redemption." And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Word of God says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." So, before salvation, you couldn't be set apart for the Lord. You had to be saved. And as a part of that salvation, you're sanctified now. You're set apart, for God, to be used of God, and to live for God. And not only did he tell them that they were washed and sanctified, but also justified. Justified. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Word of God says, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been made just in the sight of God now by faith in his Son. Amen? And are no longer an enemy of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then also in Romans 5, verse 9, the Word of God says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're justified by faith. What? Faith in what? In the blood of Christ. That's what makes you just in the sight of God. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, therefore is by the offense of one judgment, judgment came upon all men, that's Adam, through the offense of Adam. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. So, when you were saved, you got the gift of justification, amen. Amen, to be just in the sight of Almighty God. So, they weren't to go back to any of those old sins, particularly fornication and idolatry, as we will see in our next lesson. Amen. A lot is said about the sin of fornication and idolatry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It's also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Amen. And then we see when the discussion was made in Jerusalem about how a person was saved, some were saying you had to obey the law, the Mosaic law, be circumcised. That's what they were saying the Gentiles had to do. But they agreed that it was by faith. So they sent Paul and Barnabas with a letter to tell the Gentiles that they went to in Acts 15:20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. There's that fornication, the importance put against fornication and not committing fornication. Amen. We're going to stop there for now, but we'll continue our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.